Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website, c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Hey, you may be seated. God bless. Such an honor to be here tonight. And I'm just looking at this, all of you, incredible, and particularly the front row here. It's just such an honor to be at this location. I know we've got 8 locations now, but just to be with Pastor James and Tammy and such great friends, incredible leaders, amazing teachers, some of the best pastors in the world. Can you give it up for your location, pastors? Come on, your pastors need all that encouragement they can get. Looking at this auspicious front row here, and of course our incredible friends and our executive pastors, Pastor Pat and Amanda, thank you for all you do. Incredible. Years and years, but what you've done the last 2 or 3 years is absolutely amazing. We honour you, and of course that's an honour to be preaching in front of Pastor Alex and Jess, and our forthcoming, yet to be, about to be, soon to be, eventually will be, our lead pastors for the future. So God, give it up for them. Great news. Great leaders. Known them since they were knee-high to a grasshopper. And just such a wonderful honor to just do life with people. That's the great thing about the church. It's generational. It's community. It's what have you. And it always surprises me what God does, because it's God's church. And we're very, very, very excited about what this next season. We're very thankful for the past. Extremely thankful. Bernie and I couldn't be more thankful. We were here from pretty well day one or week three, 41 years ago. And that's such wonderful as we think about the stories and the memories and the seasons. I'm like, it all just blurs into all sorts of things. It's amazing what has happened. But God's church doesn't stop. He just keeps doing his thing, and it's amazing. And we're very excited, truly excited, for what God is doing and will about to do in this next season. So anybody with me on that one? Come on, give it up for Alex and Jessen, and great news. All right, I better get a move on. 20 minutes. All right, who's ready? Who's going to listen quickly? So let's get into this. We've got this... campaign on discipleship called I Have Decided. I love this. I love this big theme. Today's theme is it changes us. It's the making of you. The fact that we become disciples of Christ has many implications, has many things that it leads to. What have you, but one of the things, probably the core thing that really does, it changes who we are, and it's the making of you. So therefore, it's important that we don't just remain church attendees or religious followers, but we become disciples of Christ. And that's a permanent thing, an eternal thing, that we become disciples and followers of Jesus. It changes absolutely everything. And I just want to declare just clearly over all of you that God has a great plan, that he has purpose for you, that he's intimately aware of you. And one of the prayers I pray regularly for my family, immediate family, is that they would know Christ and they would know him intimately. Because once we know Christ intimately, then it changes everything. And that's the battle. The battle isn't other things. The battle is to know him intimately, because there's so much noise trying to get in the way of that intimate relationship with Christ. But once you discover that, once you're in that pocket of where God wants you in that space, peace comes, rest comes, clarity comes, direction comes, and you recognize that God is for you. If all things are against you, doesn't matter, God is for you, which is awesome. Can we give the Lord a hand? He's awesome. He's good. So just a couple of pre-thoughts to my big thought. You know me, I like to frame things up a little bit. A couple of things is that transformation, that discipleship and God changing us is really called transformation. God is in the transformation business. But there's a purpose attached to it. By the way, God doesn't just want to save you from something. He wants to prepare you for something. And he wants to restore you to something. So it's not just from. Christianity isn't just from, it's to. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Transformation is a very powerful thing. And there is two contexts for transformation. One is the gathered church. And God wants his church gathered because in the gathering is the change. And it's really God moving in us. God moving in us and changing and developing our lives. But it's not just the gathered church, it's the ecclesia. God calls us out of the culture and the spirit of the world so that we can gather and encourage one another and become a people that God wants to pour his spirit out on. That's great news, isn't it? But it's not just gathering. God then says, great, now scatter. Now get out there. He gathers to scatter. So now, tomorrow, tonight, you're going to go and scatter out into the world, but it's not scattering back and becoming like the world again. No, because we've gathered, we've shifted a little bit, we've changed a little bit, and we go out and scatter. And the purpose of transformation is we then transform community. So we become a transformed community to go and transform community. And how do we do that? By shouting from the rooftops? No, we are salt and light and heart and love and grace and kindness. We are opposite to the spirit of the world. This is good news, right? That's the deal. Okay, so it's a little bit of framework. The purpose of discipleship is that we become discipled in order for us to then become disciples of communities and influence of communities out there in the world. The other thing that is just worth noting, I don't know about you, I like understanding how the kingdom works. I like sort of figuring it out, or trying to figure it out at least. I haven't figured it out. Figuring out certain things because it seems sometimes very complex. So to make complex things simple, what I've found is that the process of change in our world is three things. And this is just another preliminary couple of thoughts. Three things that the Lord does. And he's, by the way, constantly doing. So these things, are they never stop. They never go, yep, done. The discipleship process is finished. Now we're done. No, these three things keep happening and rotating. Number one, first of all, the kingdom change and transformation begins with telling. There is a telling. There is somebody declaring the story. Now, if we go to Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2, we see this great passage of scripture. I'm not sure whether it'll come up or not, where it's a prophecy about Jesus. And it says, the Spirit of God is upon me, for the Lord's anointed me. Verse 2. Have you got that? Don't worry. I know it well. Spirit of God is upon me, for the Lord's anointed me. Oh, there it is. Go back another verse. Hang on. Oh, there you go. To proclaim freedom for captives, release from darkness for the prisoners. Next verse. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. All the way through these first two verses, there's a key word, proclaim. Everybody say proclaim. See, the thing is, the work has already been done. Heaven is telling a story of an accomplished work. Heaven is proclaiming, there's freedom, there's liberty. Here's the deal. Christ has been made king and the kingdom of God has come into the earth. The work has been done. Proclamation. The first part of discipleship is realizing that all the work is done. Jesus is king. Come on, give us a hand. He's not will be king, not hope to be king. Has salvation come? Yes, it's come. Salvation has come. Righteousness has entered the earth. The opportunity for grace has entered the earth. So the first thing that happens is a telling. And the thing is, there's so many things trying to tell you things. Everything, the world is shouting at you a message which is not the message of freedom. It declares freedom, but it isn't freedom. The true message of Christ is a message of freedom, and there's a telling. So that's God, the kingdom, and God has done his bit. He's done the work, and now he's just telling. Out of heaven right now is a sound of freedom offering and telling us that this freedom has come, which is awesome. But the second thing, number one, telling. Number two, that it requires a turning. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, if anyone turns to the Lord. The veil or the blindness is removed away. So heaven has done its work. That's the telling. Our response, the only response that we need is not to change. God is not asking us to change. He's asking us to turn. That's all he's asking us to do. So discipleship is telling, then turning. All we need to do when we hear the telling, where's the noise coming from? Where's the sound coming from? Turn there. And that's the face of Jesus, the presence of Jesus. It may be a friend speaking to you. It may be a church meeting. It may be tonight for the first time you've heard the concept that God loves you and he's for you and et cetera, et cetera. There's a telling happening. All you need to do is turn. We've all got our story of that. I turned 1978. Yes, that did exist. That year did exist. 1970, I turned. I wasn't expecting it. I was in a meeting. I was actually in a meeting in Sydney Town Hall. And this Catholic, spirit-filled, charismatic priest was preaching the gospel. I was raised in the Catholic environment, but I'd never heard the gospel. At least I'd never heard it clearly in my experience. So that was the telling. My sister was there. And she turned to me to continue the telling and said, what do you reckon? What do you think? Because she'd just met Christ. And it's just something in my heart. My heart turned toward the Lord that night. I turned and I said, I believe. Yes. I knew about Jesus, but until that moment happened, something in my heart had not changed. However, there's a third stage to the discipleship process. There's the telling, there's the turning, but then there's a transaction. Now it's back to God again. And I love this. All we need to do is do the middle bit, that's turn. What God does is the transaction. And if we go back to Isaiah 61, it says he gives us things for our things. So there's this transaction going on. If we go to verse 3, I think it's there somewhere. Provides to those who grieve in Zion, watch this, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. I love that word. The oil of joy, next verse, instead of mourning, say instead, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness. He takes our measly things, our mourning, our grieving, our ashes, all those things. Says, instead, I'm going to give you this. The transaction takes place. Then we start to begin to reflect the heart and nature of God. God is good, isn't he? That transaction. Guess what? He keeps doing that. He keeps telling us. We keep turning and the transactions keep happening. This thing doesn't stop. So the telling, the turning, the transaction. Okay. So I said all that to say this. That there are three things that God wants to develop in our lives. Because the discipleship isn't this vague, yes, we just follow Jesus and we become a little bit like Jesus and all that. No, God has a plan to develop your life and change us into the image of God, which is amazing. And we're just going to follow quickly in the next few minutes. We're just going to look at the life of Peter, who I think is one of the most amazing. I love the fact that the Bible has characters and stories in it that are so raw and so real. You know the Bible's real just by how honest it is and how clear it just reveals these things. So here we see the story of Peter, and we're going to talk about three quick things in the next few minutes. And these are the three things that Jesus, you're thinking, they've already done three. No, this is three things, three areas of change that God wants to develop in our lives through the process of discipleship. Number one, he wants identity formation. Number two, character development. And number three, ideology shift. Well, that sounds very deep, doesn't it? Ideology shift. Number one, identity formation. Identity formation. So in the Bible, in Matthew 16, we see this amazing story of an encounter that the disciples were having with Jesus. I'm not going to read it. I was going to summarize it. Jesus declared to the disciples, he said, who do people say that I am? And we got to understand that Jesus was not having an identity crisis himself. He wasn't looking for their affirmation. We know that he knew who he was. But of course, the disciples started answering. Imagine what was going on in the the Jewish community at that point, the miracles that are happening, the stuff that was going on, the miracles that were taking place, the crowds that were forming. Who is this guy? And of course, they're going, oh, he's Elijah. He's this guy. They were saying who he was or trying to figure out who he was. And then Jesus said, well, who do you say that I am? So others say that. Who do you say that I am? And I don't think he was directing at Peter. But at that moment, Peter was the one that answers. And we know many of you have read the scripture many times. And he had a moment in which something began, a revelation took a hold of him. And he said, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. How awesome is that? And Jesus said, flesh and blood hasn't, in other words, human thinking is not revealed that to you. Human understanding is not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed that to you. At that moment, and then Jesus responded and goes, you know who I am. Let me tell you who you are. You are Peter. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. One of the first important steps, important. I got to be really careful of that. One of the first important steps of discipleship is that God begins to give us a clear identity of who He is, and then we begin to get a clear identity of who we are. That once discipleship doesn't even begin until that begins to take place. We are not followers of a vague religion. We're not followers of a Christianity in a general sense. We are followers of Christ. And it begins with a powerful revelation of Him. The whole of the New Testament is all about our eyes opening and us seeing something that we didn't see before. If I could go on for hours talking about revelation and the fact that that is the New Testament. Christ Himself is a revelation. He is the mystery of the ages. He was hidden all through the Old Testament, concealed. Come the New Testament, He's revealed. And the only way we can have an identity of Christ is to have the Spirit of Christ revealed to us. And then suddenly we see Christ and an identity begins to form in us. But here's the deal. Then He exchanges an identity we have of Him. He says, great, let me show you who you are. Let me give you an identity as well. You know, years ago, many years ago, I became a social worker. Now, prior to that, I was studying, after I graduated high school, I went to university and actually started, Pat, you'll love this, started studying a science degree and biochemistry and marine science. I had this dream because I was a surfer. I had all these illusions, not a vision, illusions and delusions. Of studying marine chemistry, marine science, and what have you. This is, yes, this is great. I'll study the fish and surf or something. I got, after the first year of studying science at Sydney University, this isn't me. So, and I wasn't a Christian. And then I changed departments within Sydney University to the social work department. And I don't know why, I just did. I just felt like, I like people, I want to work with people, so I'll start doing that. So it's amazing. God, even before you know Him, will begin to guide you because there's an internal mechanism on the inside of you that follow that thing because it's probably God following that natural intuition. So anyway, I joined the social work department, which was, I've got so many stories from that one decision and hilarious. I was one of three guys in the department of a year of 127 students. There were three guys. And I was the only Christian amongst 127 students. I got saved that year. I was the only Christian amongst 127 students, and pretty well most of them were, you know, communists, Marxists, liberal thinkers and what have you. And I was this little Christian. Hello. I remember one particular subject, I saw this topic, Christianity and social work. I'm like, awesome. I'll go and do that topic. And then I got in there and found out that they were actually all Marxist and you know, whatever, just doing all this stuff. And I was this little Christian trying to figure out my faith. By the way, you can be a Christian amongst all that and still not be intimidated and still not, you can figure out your faith. I didn't know much. But keep you, even in the midst of those things, in terms of opposing ideologies and opposing situations, your faith can remain strong. So anyway, I pursued that and eventually graduated. But then once I graduated, I got a job with the New South Wales government in the area of child protection. And I was sitting at my desk one day, and I was maybe a few years into the life of the church, maybe a couple of years into the life of the church. And I was at my desk. No, I didn't have an office, just a desk. And at lunchtime, I used to read my Bible and have my sandwich. And I was eating that and reading my Bible. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, Mark, you are no longer a social worker. You are now a man of God. And I thought, that was weird. And nothing happened. No fire from heaven came and split the desk in two. And fire came up the middle of the desk, and I felt the call of God. No, it was just this identity on the inside. Something changed on the inside. No, my natural circumstances didn't change. I didn't get a phone call from the pastor saying, I want you to become a minister. No, nothing changed, but an internal identity began to shift on the inside of me. As a result, I pursued that identity and went to college the next year. And that year of college, which was the first year of full-time C3 college in 1983. And that year changed my life. I began to make decisions that got me on the track of what God. Now, not everybody's called to what we call full-time ministry, but here's the deal. As I began to follow the identity, as I had an identity in Christ and He gave me an identity, then that began to unfold the track that God had for my life. God has a specific identity for you that's hidden in Christ. And if you follow that, I tell you, great blessing, great favor, and great touch of God will come upon you. Some of you maybe college is it. For some of you, maybe the college next year is it. Go pursue that with all your heart. Go and do it. Look, at very least, you'll get a better understanding of Bible and theology, and that'll help you for the marketplace anyway. So that's incredible. And eventually, I got into ministry and so on. But God has an identity for your life. Jesus gave Peter that identity. Come on, give the Lord a hand this morning, this evening. All right, second thing, real quick. So God wants to, first, identity. Our discipleship in Christ can't begin until we know Christ and our eyes are open and we see Him and He gives us identity. Second thing that happens is character development. The amazing story in Luke chapter 22, and it's the Last Supper. And it's just crazy to me as I read this passage of Scripture and what was going on that Last Supper and the interchange of things and futures and things, and then they had sat an argument at the table of who's the greatest. I mean, this is the night that Jesus was betrayed, the day before His crucifixion, and this, the arguing about all this thing, and I'm sure Jesus was like, I need to do a character lesson here right now. Then out of nowhere, Jesus says to Peter, Simon, not good, name mentioned twice. That's never a good thing when God mentions your name twice. Then Simon, Satan has asked permission to sift you like wheat. And he says, I pray that your faith doesn't fail, et cetera, et cetera. Many of you know that story. Like, it just blows my mind. Then Jesus starts to talk about what's going to happen, that He's going to be crucified and what have you. They're freaking the disciples out. Peter begins to declare, Jesus, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be with you. He declares something above his character development. He makes a promise beyond where his character currently was. Come on. Who's ever done that? We all overproject. We all go, we all have a view of ourselves that is way better than actually in reality it is. And that's okay. And Jesus, the great thing is Jesus didn't argue with that. And He said, well, actually, Peter, by the time the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, no, never. Just declared it with absolute confidence and gusto. Anyway, within a few hours, the cock had crowed. He denied Jesus three times. He'd lied. He'd become disloyal to the Son of God. and he left the mission, all within about 6 or 8 hours after that. He had a massive character fail. By the way, haven't we all? None of us. Here's the deal, guys. Christianity is not morality. Christianity, the freedom that God offers, he declares a message of grace. He says, come on, let's go on the journey to develop your character. Because character and morality are not our message. They are the vessel, though. And as he develops our character and develops that part of our world, that becomes the vessel. I love the scripture later in Isaiah 61. And it says that you'll become a planting of the Lord. You become a planting of the Lord. Oaks of righteousness. A planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Because great character becomes a display of his splendor. However, it's not our message. We don't preach a message of morality. If we preach that, one, we can't reach that standard, and secondly, no one else can reach that standard as well. However, that character, as we grow in character, and Peter grew in character, and thank God, even after the resurrections, Jesus restored Peter in relationship to him and his brothers, and he became strong again, and he overcame. The fact that Peter went away and wept bitterly, as long as there's repentance and softness of heart, grace will keep coming to your life. Grace will keep coming back to your life. And then you stand up again. Then you stand up again and go, you know what? I've learned something here. This is great. I'm going to grow in that area. Discipleship is the growth of character in your world. But it doesn't define whether you're accepted or not. It just means keep going in that direction. Keep growing in your character and you become a vessel, a planting of the Lord, and you will display his splendor. And the last area, once again, I love the fact that Jesus was intimately involved in every one of these sections of Peter's life. And I want to say that Jesus is intimately involved in your growth and in your discipleship. He's right there at every stage. When identity is needed, there he is. When you've had a character fail and he's reforming you, there he is. And in this case, before the church could really become the church and expand into the world and have an impact globally, he had to do something in Peter. Because often, God's not the problem or the limit. We are. Come on. Who is their own problem here? We're the problem. So what did the Lord do? The Lord, interesting enough, we're fasting and praying this week. As he was praying, the Lord showed him a vision in Acts chapter 10. Showed him a vision of all things, strange vision of a blanket. And this blanket's descending out of heaven. It's got all these animals on it that were not considered clean in the Jewish society. Things that they weren't allowed to touch, eat, or be around. Jesus says this incredible thing to Peter. Peter, watch this. What you once considered unclean, now consider clean. He changed his thinking on a major issue that ultimately was becoming the block to the extension of the gospel through the world. What things in our hearts and our minds? We live in a society in which we are seeing opposing ideologies, people fighting with a thought. And those thoughts are worst case, it's the thing is happening more in the church than even in the world sometimes. That people are fighting each other I'm fighting you with my ideology. I don't agree with your ideology, you don't agree with my ideology. And they think we're missing the point. We need God's mind. We need God's view of things. And in Peter's case, what was happening is his thinking, his history, even how he was raised, was the very thing that limited what God wanted to do. So he changed his mind, changed his view. Basically, he said, "Guy, Peter, you need to open the doors to people that you once considered unclean, all the Gentile populations, all those people that you would not even share bread with. I want to open the door to them." Coming in within a few minutes, there was a knock on the door and a door of opportunity happened. God wants to shift our thinking. Discipleship is God shifting our ideology. I find even in the last 2 years, God has changed my thinking on things. And I love that. See, God's discipleship of you is not stagnant. It's alive, it's growing, it's moving. God wants us thinking new things, not contrary to the scriptures. In fact, right down the middle. But sometimes we look at something and we have a perspective. God says, no, let me show you something new on that. Imagine what God can do through this house and this church as He begins to disciple us and show us new things. I believe we're gonna see a move of God across the city as we allow His discipleship to keep going in our lives, because this isn't about us. Being disciples of Christ isn't us about being disciples of Christ. Being disciples of Christ is us influencing community and city and touching the world in a way that God wants to do, by the way, in a brand new way. God is good, isn't He? Come on, why don't we stand to our feet right now as we finish?
Thanks for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. We look forward to having you back soon.